Hey everyone, Darren Woods from The Indicator here, and here is one reason why you should donate to a local NPR station, the best way to support The Indicator. Behavioural economists have discovered this thing called the IKEA effect, and this is a real effect. It shows that people liked their IKEA furniture more because they had to assemble their beds and bookcases. In other words, contributing makes you appreciate the thing more. So, come help us build The Indicator. Go to donate.npr.org/indicator.
NPR. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm Adrian Ma.
And it is Friday. Woohoo! We made it, Adrian, through this
week. Yeah.
And it is now time for Indicators of the Week, when we kind of look over the landscape of the week and pick out a couple of indicators that really stood out to us. So, Adrian, what is a little taste of your indicator of the week?
We're going to talk about the economic effects we're starting to see from the recent rise in COVID numbers.
Yes, that has been a huge economic story all week.
Mm-hmm.
And mine, I mean, I don't want to get people too excited, but it is about the Central Bank of the United States and a speech that happened this week. And without getting people too riled up, I did want to play a little clip. Here it is.
The Federal Open Market Committee kept interest rates near zero and updated its assessment of the progress that the economy has made toward the criteria specified in the committee's forward guidance for interest rates.
Very, very exciting stuff.
Boom! Yeah, I feel it.
I promise it does get exciting. We'll jump into our indicators of the week right after the break.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Fundrise, making investing in private real estate as easy as investing in stocks, bonds, or mutual funds. Build a more diversified portfolio today at Fundrise, FUNDRISE.com/indicator.
Okay, time for indicators of the week. So my indicator of the week has to do with the Central Bank of the United States. So the Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell gave a talk this week. It was part of a regularly scheduled press conference. And these talks are kind of famous for being not necessarily that exciting all the time. But this one was kind of, you know, a barn burner in Fed terms.
Okay.
Because what happened was something that people are calling the Powell pivot.
It's catchy. Okay.
The Powell pivot. So what's happened is, you know, for a long time, the Federal Reserve was saying that inflation was, they were sort of watching inflation. They thought it might be temporary due to some supply chain issues, but transitory. Remember this word transitory, that is temporary. This week, Jerome Powell, in his speech, made this big point of saying we are handling inflation, we're taking actions to control inflation, including phasing out the stimulus going into the economy. That's a big one. And then also raising interest rates next year. So this was a big signal from the Fed that it is sort of on it. It's looking at inflation. It does not necessarily think it's temporary anymore, and it's taking action to deal with it.
So that's the Powell pivot? Like, I thought the Powell pivot was going to be like a dance of some kind. That's what it sounds like.
Tragically, no. I mean, it was a metaphorical dance of sorts, right?
Okay.
I would be excited if the next meeting Powell did an interpretive dance. Certainly, though, it does mark sort of a departure for Jerome Powell and Federal Reserve policy. But my very favorite part of the speech, Adrian, did not have to do with the Powell pivot at all. It had to do with this like kind of heartfelt moment at the end of his speech. I'm going to play it for you.
To conclude, we understand that our actions affect communities, families, and businesses across the country. Everything we do is in service to our public mission. We at the Fed will do everything we can.
So I really loved this because, of course, we talk about the Federal Reserve, Central Bank a lot on this show, Adrian, and sometimes it can feel so esoteric. You know, we're talking about like the discount window or the Fed funds rate or quantitative easing or bond, you know, all these programs. It can seem very esoteric. I really loved that Jerome Powell said, you know, things that we do here at the Fed affect people all across the country, because, of course, I deeply believe that this is true and is an incredibly important message to communicate, that this stuff matters not just to like traders and global markets, but to everyone.
Totally.
That was the feel-good moment of the Fed's speech, in my opinion. So that's my indicator of the week. Adrian Ma, what is your indicator of the week?
148,000.
Okay.
And 148,000 is as of this morning, the 7-day moving average for new daily COVID cases in the U.S.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that is according to Johns Hopkins COVID tracker. And just for a little context, back in June, this same rate, the 7-day moving average of new cases, was just 15,000 new cases a day. And so where we're at right now is about 10 times higher than we were back then.
Yeah. I mean, that number is really shocking. I've been reading these stories, though, about things that had been reopening, kind of closing back down, holiday parties, travel plans, conferences, everything getting canceled.
Absolutely. Like, there are definitely starting to be some economic effects from this rise in COVID cases that we're seeing. And it's not clear right now just, like, how much of that is due to Delta, which is, like, kind of what most of the cases are, and how much of it is due to the newer Omicron variant. But economic effects are definitely being felt. Just this past week, schools, like universities, have been shutting down their campuses early. Cornell, New York University, Princeton. Professional sports leagues, you know, the NFL, the NBA, NHL, they've all postponed games because players have come down with COVID. Broadway is canceling shows. And all of this really makes me think about the fact that, like, when an event gets canceled, it has all these economic effects because, like, you cancel it and it's not like you just pick up where you left off when things clear up, right? Like,
yeah,
that business is just gone. So there's a whole chunk of economic activity that is just kind of poof.
Yeah. I feel like people are just like kind of trying to cope. I feel like we all want the economy to reopen and want to kind of get back to our normal lives. But it does seem like that keeps getting moved further and further back. It feels like a moving target a little bit.
Totally.
Always. And also going back to the office, right?
Yeah. I mean, that is also a moving target for the companies that have been trying, like, in fits and starts to bring workers back. And so, you know, in the past week, we've heard about companies like Google and Apple and Ford. They're all kind of pushing back their back-to-the-office plans. And then even companies that were, like, really gung-ho about going back to the office are starting to kind of backpedal on that, right? Like, a really good example is Morgan Stanley. Their CEO back in June was implying that there would be consequences for workers that didn't come back to their office headquarters in New York.
Okay.
He said, like, you can't, like, live in Colorado and expect to get paid like a New Yorker. And he was pretty serious about that. And a lot of employees did come back. But then this week he said, you know, like, he actually said, I was wrong about that. And he said,
really?
Yeah. He said, we're probably going to have to slow down.
That's its own indicator, Adrian.
Yeah. I mean, like, you don't hear that often, right? Like,
when the heads of companies start saying, I was wrong, you know, something is, you know, something big is afoot in an economy.
Right. Things are weird right now. And, you know, it's not just with the CEOs saying they're wrong, but I think we're all trying to kind of do this risk calculation in our head right now, and it just keeps shifting from day to day.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, just to give you an example from my own life, I'm invited to this Christmas party on Saturday.
Are you going
to
go?
And was invited, like, weeks ago, and I was pretty sure I was going to go, like, if you asked me, like, 3 or 4 weeks ago, but now, as the days go by, I feel like the percentage of I'm definitely going to go keeps just ticking down ever so slightly.
I know.
And I don't really know, like, what the cutoff is. Like, at what point do I just say, like, I'm going to stay home and drink hot cocoa and, like, watch movies?
Yes, it's the couch. It's the couch to party indicator, Adrian. I feel like that's actually potentially a big one.
Oh.
We should, if there's a way to measure how many people are on their couches instead of going to parties or vice versa, that should be our 2022 indicator.
That's a whole show.
That's a whole show.
That's a whole show. And that is my whole life.
This episode of The Indicator was produced by our senior producer, Viet Le, with help from Gilly Moon. It was fact-checked by Taylor Washington. The Indicator's edited by Kate Concannon and is a production of NPR.